What is up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and we're back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast, guys. This episode is going to be interesting. We got to talk about the 49ers. They dominated the Cowboys. We talked about them being overhyped last episode, so we're going to continue that talk. We're going to continue talking about the Chicago Bears. They finally got a win against the Washington Commanders last Thursday. We're going to talk about some NBA news as well. I mean, the NBA starting up, and, you know, it's a lot of good teams, obviously. A lot of people that can, you know, contend for a championship. And we're going to talk about who can maybe possibly win the MVP this year. Who knows, man? Who knows what's going to happen this year in the NBA? The NBA is just, I think it's the parity is great in the NBA right now. It's anyone's game. And that's when the NBA is at its best. But we're going to start with NFL action. The San Francisco 49ers, they beat up on the Dallas Cowboys. It was a rout from the beginning. I mean, 42-10, just a dominating win. Like I said, I talked about the Cowboys being overhyped last episode. They only won against the Patriots, 38-3. They won against the Jets, 30-10, and they won against the Giants. They shut out the Giants, 40-0. And those three teams are not good football teams. You know, well, with Aaron Rodgers, the Jets had Super Bowl aspirations, but now with Zach Wilson, they're not a Super Bowl contending team. But like I said, nonetheless, those three teams are not good teams. They lost against the Cardinals. The Cardinals played more physical than them in that game. And 49ers, they just dominated them. I mean, honestly, the 49ers are the best team in football. It's apparent now. It's not even a discussion anymore. You know, once I saw that game, once I saw them beat up on the Dallas, I thought it was going to be a good game, honestly. I honestly did. I thought Dallas was going to come out, you know, with a chip on their shoulder. San Francisco beat them these last 2 years. I thought they were going to come out hot, physical, fast, but they didn't. And they just got routed. I mean, Fred Warner, my pick for the defensive player of the year already, he is a generational talent. He's not even, like, it's not funny what he does. He, sideline to sideline linebacker, his football IQ is off the charts. I mean, it's he recognizes plays, flies around, and he's communicating while the play is going on the field. I mean, he's just amazing, man. His physicality, he's tremendous. He's everything you want in a middle linebacker. And Dre Greenlaw as well. Obviously, he's not the player that Fred Warner is, but Dre Greenlaw is one of the best linebackers in this league. And those two paired up, man, it's San Francisco. They've had good linebackers, you know, from Patrick Willis now to Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. I mean, those two, and Navarro Bowman as well. You know, they've had success at the linebacker position, and it's continuing with these two guys and with that defense. So, and their offense, obviously, with Brock Purdy playing at MVP level, Christian McCaffrey, I think he should be the MVP. The MVP shouldn't be a quarterback award, in my opinion. It should be spread out to all skill positions and even defensive players as well. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey's playing MVP football. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, the offensive unit is crazy. And yeah, like I said, the 49ers are the best team in football, hands down. Dak Prescott, let's talk about Dak Prescott really quick. Dak, man, played terrible. You know, three straight drive, three interceptions in that game. Only one touchdown, 14 for 2,453 yards. This team can only go as far as Dak Prescott takes them. I've said that before. It's going to come down to the quarterback play when they match up against the 49ers again, if they do in the playoffs. You know, it's all about who can limit mistakes, who can push the ball down the field, who can make plays for their team. And Brock Purdy did that the entire game against the Dallas Cowboys. And Dak Prescott looked rattled. He looked like mentally he looked as if it had gotten to him. The errors, the losing to the 49ers, all of the hype coming into the game. He looked rattled. He looked shocked. He looked like a deer in headlights. And you don't want that from your franchise quarterback. You honestly don't. Especially with him playing as many years as he's played, you don't want to see that. So moving forward, the Dallas Cowboys, they're obviously going to still be a good team. But when they match up against the 49ers, I'm taking the 49ers, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, and basically with guys like Tony Pollard, Brandon Cooks, they brought in Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has had a number of 1,000 yard, you know, receiving seasons. and they don't even use him. He had one catch for 6 yards. You know, he doesn't get used as much as he could. And honestly, Tony Pollard should be used more as well. They really rely on CeeDee Lamb to get open and to make plays, and he does, but you can't only rely on that person. Kevontae Turpin scored the only touchdown for them this game. They have to use him more and get him more involved. Michael Gallup as well. I mean, they have the weapons. They have, you know, the guys to make something happen on offense, but it's just a matter of getting the ball to him. Dak Prescott just can't do that. He can't be effective and move the ball down the field. And Damian Woody on Get Up and on First Take said this best. He said, Dak Prescott is a great quarterback when he plays from in front. You know, the 3 wins that the Dallas Cowboys had, they've been playing from in front, which means they literally had a big lead. You know, they're playing conservative. They're not really trying to push the ball down the field. But when they play behind like the Cardinals and the 49ers, it doesn't look good. Dak Prescott just gets rushed. He gets rattled. He tries to make plays that aren't there, you know, and that's just a result of how he's been playing. And the hype surrounding the Dallas Cowboys and the question marks on his back. But nonetheless, like I said, the Dallas Cowboys are still going to be a good team. I don't know if they can compete with teams like the 49ers and teams like the Eagles because of their quarterback, because of Dak Prescott. But, you know, moving on to, let's talk about the New England Patriots for a second. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, post the Tom Brady era, like they've been struggling, right? Ever since Cam Newton took over a few years ago, I believe it was 2020, they've struggled, and I mean struggled. Like it's apparent that Bill Belichick wants this thing to work without Tom Brady. It's obviously not working, right? You have guys on this roster, Mac Jones. He's the least of their worries right now. Matthew Judon is out right now with an injury, but he's the least of your worries. Mac Jones is. He hasn't been playing well by any stretch of imagination either, but it's not all on him, right? They've gotten outscored 72-3 these last 2 weeks. And, you know, Mac Jones, 12-22 against the Saints, 110 yards, 2 interceptions. Bailey Zappi has come in these last 2 games and, you know, relieved Mac Jones of his duties in the fourth quarter. So it's really hard to play when you don't have wide receivers to get separation, right? You need wide receivers to make plays. You need wide receivers to get off their man and just try to make a play on the football. And Mac Jones, he doesn't have that in the wide receiver room for the Patriots. He doesn't have that. Every ball has to be perfect. Right, every ball has to be fit into a window. Every ball has to be accurate. And Mac Jones isn't that type of player yet. You saw Tom Brady do it in the system years and years and years and years. He didn't have the best of wide receivers, but he just made plays because he was Tom Brady. Almost every ball was accurate. Almost every ball was on time. Almost every ball was just perfect, right? And it made the entire system look good because of one guy. It made the coaches look good because of one guy. It made the team win because of one guy, right? And now you don't have that one guy, and you see what happens. You see the struggles. You see they can't move the ball down the field. You see wide receivers not making plays. You see them not having a running game. They bring in Ezekiel Elliott. He doesn't do it. He's not being used effectively. They still have Ramondre Stevenson as the lead back. They both combined for 16 carries for 65 yards. And it's not going to win you football games. It's not. Right, you can't win football games like that. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's been held in check for these last 2 games. I would say, last week against the Saints, 3 receptions for 6 yards. I mean, you brought him in to be a leader in that wide receiver room. You brought him in to make plays for you, to be your number one guy. He hasn't been that, right? So, man, I don't know if they relieve Bill Belichick of his duties. I don't know where they go from here. You moved on from Cam Newton a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and you cut your losses and you say, hey, we're going to believe in this rookie quarterback, Mac Jones. And from that point on, I just lost faith in the New England Patriots because I thought Cam Newton was their best option at quarterback. He still had a lot of good football left, and Mac Jones wasn't ready. But they pushed him in the light. They pushed him to be their starting quarterback, and this is what he's giving you. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Mac Jones is a terrible quarterback. I'm not saying that he can't get the job done, but he needs weapons around him. He needs a competent coaching staff to allow him to make plays, to allow him to get the ball out on time, to make, you know, throw deep balls down the field. And the defense has to back him up. But you haven't saw that thus far from the New England Patriots. So I don't think they relieve Bill Belichick of his duties. I do think that there have to be some changes made from the top down. You have to bring in some coaches that bring in a different perspective. You have to bring in different coaches that maybe, you know, open Bill Belichick's eyes and bring a different, you know, type of scheme or different type of, you know, offensive, you know, I would say mindset in that building, because what's going on right now isn't working, and you can't continue this, right? He has 29 more wins to catch Don Shula for most wins all time as a coach. And judging by this team, they're not going to get there until 4 years, 4 or 5 years. He's not going to get those 29 wins. And I'm pretty sure that's what he's going for. But, and if he's not, then he's just, you know, wasting time, essentially. So the Patriots, it's their run is over. They're done, right, as of now. They're done, unless they make some changes. Bill Belichick has to look in the mirror and say, hey, I need help. I need some guys who can actually come in here and, you know, turn this organization around and give us some help on offense, give us some help on defense. They need playmakers on both sides of the ball. But the Baltimore Ravens, I talked about getting to them and talking about Lamar Jackson. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, they lost against the Steelers this past week, 17-10. And in that game, Lamar Jackson did all he can do, 22 for 38, 236 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. His wide receivers, they have to give him more, right? You have guys like Odell Beckham Jr. He's dealing with an injury, I believe. Rashad Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Devin Duvernay. They have to give you more, right? You have to expect more from this wide receiver room. And they're just not getting that right now, and that's the reason that they're losing football games. Their running game is almost non-existent because, you know, teams are used to Lamar Jackson running the ball. They're trying to contain him. They always have a QB spy on him. You know, they try to flush him out the pocket and, you know, kind of force him to the sideline. But their running game is almost non-existent. So you're essentially forcing Lamar Jackson to stand in the pocket and make throws. And he's sometimes making these throws. They're sometimes accurate. They're on point. But his wide receivers are just not coming down with the football, and that's the issue, right? His most reliable target is Mark Andrews, and he's a tight end. He's not going to be open always. He's not going to be going out for passes as much as these wide receivers are. So moving forward for Baltimore, I just want to see Lamar Jackson get some help. You know, this narrative that he isn't earning his money right now, he got a big contract this offseason, this narrative that he isn't earning his money right now, kind of null and void because of the people around him. It's not him. You know, obviously he's made some mistakes this season. He hasn't played perfect. But as far as him earning his money, he's putting the ball in the right spots most of the time, and his wide receivers aren't coming down with the football, so it's not on him, right? So, I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They turned this thing around. You know, that week one loss against the 49ers, it looked bad. I mean, I thought this Pittsburgh Steelers team was going to be under 500 for the first time under Mike Tomlin. But they look good. You know, they look like they fight for wins, right? They look like they don't lay down. They continue to play. They continue to, you know, fight to the end. And of course, you're going to get that out of a Mike Tomlin coach team. But with this rivalry, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of good games. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they're both 3-2. So in Baltimore, I just think that they have the chance to, you know, make a playoff push. But with these wide receivers playing like that, I just don't see it. Maybe Pittsburgh can step into that light and make a playoff push. But in due time, we'll see. And, you know, speaking of people playing good football, the Detroit Lions, man. Detroit Lions are just, man, I'm a Chicago Bears fan, right? The Lions won against the Panthers 42-24. Dan Campbell has his team playing absolutely outstanding football. The Detroit Lions are one of the best teams in football. I did not, I never would have thought I would have said that, you know, coming into this season. But they are, you know, one of the best teams in football. They run the ball very well. Their offensive line is absolutely tremendous. Jared Goff in that game, 20 for 28, 236 yards and 3 touchdowns. David Montgomery had 19 carries for 109 yards, guys. He's been a workhorse for them. I mean, this guy played for the Chicago Bears. I know all about him. He's a tough guy, gritty guy, wants the ball, loves contact. And he's just getting the job done on the ground for him. And Jared Goff is getting the ball out to these guys, Josh Reynolds, Sam Laporta, Marvin Jones Jr., you know, Brock Wright, these Jameson Williams as well. These guys are making plays for Jared Goff and for the Detroit Lions. And like I said, they're one of the best teams in football. Their offensive line is one of the best O-line units in football. They've done everything the right way in Detroit. They built it from the ground up. Dan Campbell has those guys believing in one another, believing in the system, believing in the work, right? And that's all you want out of a head coach. They're 4-1 right now. I'm pretty sure they're going to win the division. You know, the Green Bay Packers, they're, I believe they're 2-3 or 2-4. No, they're 2-3, right? The Green Bay Packers are 2-3. And Chicago Bears are 1-4. I believe the Minnesota Vikings are 1-4. They're obviously going to win the division. They're the best team in that division. And obviously they're going to make the playoffs. But we're going to see who they play in the first round and divisional round, if they get a bye week in the first round. I don't think so, but they're probably going to play a team like, I would say, maybe the Seattle Seahawks or someone like that in the first round. You know, that's going to be a test because Seattle is playing good football as well, right? So, moving forward for Detroit, man, I honestly like to watch Detroit play. It's fun football. Ben Johnson, it's offensive coordinator. He's been tremendous. You know, he makes great decisions for that offense, and I just love to see Detroit play. And I was, like I said, never would have thought I would say that, you know, coming into the season. But, you know, I'm objective, guys. I'm not one of those biased fans that just get on the podcast and just talk about the Bears all the time. You know, I really enjoy watching good teams play football, and the Detroit Lions are one of them. So, but moving to the NBA, man, Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama, they played last night against one another. Let's talk about Wimby. Man, Wimby is something else. I mean, I believe this guy's what, 7'5"? 7'6", almost 7'4", 7'5". 20 points in 19 minutes, 5 rebounds. I do want to see those rebounds go up. Obviously, it's a preseason game. I'm not overreacting. But he should easily average a double-double. Easily. You know, 17, 18, and 10, his rookie season is very, very doable, right? You know, with a team like this, though, I don't know where, obviously they're not going to make the playoffs, right? But where does this team stand in a few years? Where do they go, right? Where do they rank amongst the teams in the Western Conference? You have guys getting older. You have vets getting older, right? You have, like, for example, the Phoenix Suns. Those guys are only going to get older, right? You have young teams like Oklahoma City, you know, Sacramento, Memphis. You have young teams like that who are stepping into that limelight and being a force in the Western Conference. And the Spurs can do it. The Spurs can do it in maybe 3-4 years. They can be one of the top teams in the Western Conference. You know, in that maybe 3-4 range, 3-4-5 range. You know, if developed correctly, they can be one of those teams. Especially if they surround Victor, especially if they surround Wimby with talent and with the correct personnel, they definitely could be one of those teams. But yeah, he's a super talented guy, man. I mean, he's 7'5", moves like a guard, can do almost everything on the floor, shoot threes, rebound, pass. You know, block shots. I mean, he's tremendous. I'm one of those guys that's rooting for him because I want to see what he can do on this level. Obviously, he played pro, but I want to see what he can do on the NBA level. I want to see how the physicality gets to him, because it's one thing to be physical in another league, but the NBA is an entirely different level, right? You have physical guys, athletic guys who kind of get into your chest and, you know, make you defend. They make you want to actually get in someone and you know, make it hard for him, right? And I want to see him go up against guys like Giannis, like Joel Embiid, like Nikola Jokic, you know, the more physical guys like Steven Adams, guys like that, Jonas Valanciunas, the more physical bigs. I want to see that matchup. Obviously, I don't think he's going to shy away from it. His teammates have came out and said they're going to have his back. You know, people are going to have a target on his back, but his teammates said that they're going to have his back, and that's all you need, right? That's all you need from your team. Just I want you guys to have my back. That's all I want to know. Do you have my back? Yes or no? And his teammates have already confirmed it, so he just has to go out there and play. He has to go out there, and I talked about this yesterday on Twitter actually, and I said he has this kind of swag, this kind of flair to his game that he didn't have in Europe, right? He's moving. These last few months have probably been, it boosted his confidence tremendously. He probably didn't know if he actually can last in this league, you know, long term, and I believe he does. Because he's just moving as if he belongs here. And he does. He honestly belongs here. This is the best of the best. Now prove what you can do. And, you know, Chet Holmgren, this is basically his rookie year. Last year he sat out. You know, he was hurt all last season. 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 16 minutes last night. Like I said, preseason game, I'm not overreacting, guys. I know everyone plays in the preseason. But Chet is going to be great. He honestly might win MVP. Rookie of the Year. He honestly might, because this young OKC team, there are a lot of people that said they're going to be one of the best teams in the West in coming years, and I honestly believe they are if they keep this group together and they're developed the right way, because they have so many different types of guys that can defend, that can score, that can rebound, that can pass, and they're all kind of bigger guys, right? They're all kind of, you know, wings. They're like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", in that range. And, you know, moving forward for this team, I mean, you only hope that everyone stays healthy. You only hope that Chet stays healthy and continues to, you know, progress. And I want to see him do well. I really do. I want to see how this OKC team, you know, they were close to making the playoffs as the AC last year, and I really wanted them to, but Minnesota got it. You know, Anthony Edwards is just, he's a dog, but don't sleep on this OKC team, man. They're going to be great. I really do think they're going to make an impact in this league for years to come, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's tough. I mean, he's one of the best scorers in the league. Averaged 30 last year. He's going to be tremendous. He might be in the MVP conversation if the, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder are one of those fifth, fourth seeds. He might be in the MVP conversation. You never know. But as far as championship aspirations, you know, I was talking to one of my guys about this. Boston, they're nice. I'll say that. Milwaukee, in my opinion, four teams win the championship. Milwaukee, Boston, Denver, Phoenix. Maybe the Clippers. Maybe the Lakers. And that's it, right? I don't believe there's any more teams that can win the championship. Because those teams I just mentioned, they have size, they have scorers, they have bigs that can defend, they have wings. This is a wings league. They have wings that can defend. They have wings that can score. They have guys that can facilitate, get guys involved. Phoenix, they developed their bench tremendously with this trade. And you know, Denver is already a well-oiled machine. Milwaukee is a well-oiled machine. They just have to integrate Dame and find out where he can make an impact. The Lakers as well, they have a bench. They have Anthony Davis, you know, LeBron obviously doing what he does, and Austin Reeves doing what he does. I mean, it's possible, right? The Clippers maybe, because Paul George, Kawhi Leonard coming back healthy. It's possible, you know, and my front runners right now would possibly be Milwaukee, just because of the dynamic duo. I mean, Chris Middleton is a strong third option, right? He's one of those guys that any given night he can have 35, you know, and he gets timely buckets. That entire playoff run when they won the championship in 2021, he got a lot of timely buckets. You know, the first 43 minutes of the game, you know, Giannis did his thing, and then the last 5 minutes of the game, Chris Middleton kind of took over, right? And that's what you're going to see this season. You're going to see Giannis control the game in the first 40, 45 minutes, and then you're going to see Dame kind of fit in and kind of take over those last, you know, four minutes. So that, because that's what he does. He's one of the most clutch players in this league. So, like I said, Milwaukee is going to be great. Boston is going to be great. With Drew Holiday, he brings a different dynamic to this team that Marcus Smart didn't, because Marcus Smart wasn't the type of guy that Marcus Smart couldn't really guard bigger guys, right? Bigger guys will post him up like Jimmy Butler did. Marcus Smart didn't really guard Jimmy Butler like that in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Didn't really guard him that much. Jimmy Butler's 6'7", almost 6'8". He's a bigger body. And Drew Holiday can guard those bigger body guards and those bigger body wings. Drew Holiday's almost 6'6". You know, 6'5", and maybe, you know, a few inches. Like 6'5", and maybe like a quarter or something like that. But he can guard those bigger guys, and that's what he was used for in Milwaukee, and that's what I think he's going to be used for in Boston. And Jason Tatum has to step up to the plate, you know, because, and Jaylen Brown as well. Jaylen Brown has to step up to the plate just because of Jaylen Brown. He got paid a lot of money. Everyone knows $304 million is a lot of money over 5 years, right? He has to step up, do what he needs to do, work on his game. Obviously, he did. And I want to see that. I want to see that duo become a two-way duo. They were, when Ime Udoka was there, they were one of the best defensive teams in the league. And we were talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being two of the best two-way players in this league. And I want to see that again, right? I want to see those two guys take on the challenge of guarding the best guys on the opposing team. I want to see that. I really do. And it's not all about scoring. It's not all about putting the ball in the basket. Obviously, that's what the game is about. But I want to see those guys make an impact on the defensive side of the ball. That's really it. And with the Lakers, you know, if LeBron hands the keys to Anthony Davis and he takes them and hopefully he averages close to 28 a game. If he averages close to 28 a game, he can be in the MVP conversation. The Lakers can be one of the best teams in the Western Conference, if not the league, right? And the Denver Nuggets, I mean, Jokic coming off a Finals MVP, he's the best player in the league right now, in my opinion. You know, with him coming back and Denver just being a well-oiled machine, they're almost like the Spurs of the new age, right? I think they're going to be, you know, maybe top 2 seed. Maybe they might be 1 the entire season. Again, everyone might ignore them this season, like they did last year, and then they end up winning a championship again. They end up winning back-to-back. You know, who knows? But it's going to be an interesting season, though, nonetheless. You know, my MVP, honestly, might go to Luka. If Luka, his team is not going to be that good, so I don't know if he's going to win MVP. I'll take that back. But it might go to Jay Tatum. He could be in the running. Giannis can be in the running again, obviously. Embiid can still be in there. I mean, it's a lot of guys who will probably win MVP, though. But that being said, guys, this is the end of the show. I appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you guys follow me on my Instagram and Twitter pages. I'm going to link those in the description below. This is Jalen Shore, a.k.a. Head Honcho. I will see you guys next week. Peace out.